Psalms 119, verse 97. Let me go to the Lord, word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be able to preach and teach your word. Lord, I surely need your help, and I know I can't accomplish anything tonight without your help. Allow the Holy Spirit to work on our hearts and help us. And I pray that through this section, Lord, that you remind us of your word. And Lord, I pray that we would really think about our love for your word. Do we really love your word like we should? And Lord, I just pray that you would just help me with any example, whatever it is that I need to bring forth. And we ask in Jesus, your precious name. Amen. So as we've been going through the book of Psalms 119, we have seen up through verse 96, there's been three verses. Every verse is the very words of God. But there's three verses we have come to that does not mention the word of God in it. And that would be 84, verse 90, and 91. But if you look in this section, verse 97 down to 104, you'll find it, right? Law, commandments, testimonies, precepts, word, judgment, or judgments, I'm sorry, thy words, and then precepts. So you can see in this section, again, that's there. So I don't believe it's a coincidence that the longest chapter in the Bible, and what we see here talks about God's word. Amen. The importance of God's word. So as we see here in verse 97, he says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Now here is David as he's starting this section. And what I mean by that section is you'll see his Psalms of 119 is broken down and kind of like in eight verses. So there's a section that goes through there. And here it is in this section. He's speaking about God's word, but he's talking about how much he loves it. Oh, how love I thy law. And for me, I feel like I'm tongue-tied there. I want to say something different other than, oh, love I think, or something like that, thy law. So it's tongue twister for me for whatever reason. But anyway, he's talking about how much he loves God's word. He talks about how it is my meditation. The word meditation means reflection, right? He's thinking about it. He's pondering. He's thinking of it. He says, all the day. So here it is, the psalmist, which I believe is David, is talking about his love for God's word. And as he goes throughout his day, he's thinking about God's word. And he's thinking about, you think about the word of God that he had up to that period of time. And he's thinking about the promises. He's thinking about maybe, you know, the law that was given. And he's looking at that and examining that. He's thinking about, you know, the beginning and maybe Adam and Eve. And there's other things that he's pondering on. But what we could see is he loves God's word. Do you know when you love something or you love someone, the reality is you'll want to be with them. You'll think about that, right? I love my wife, and the reality is I love being with my wife, amen? And I love my daughter, and I enjoy her company, amen? I love church, and I love coming to church, amen? I love my Lord, and I love His Word, amen? And I enjoy time spending reading His Word. So anyway, if you love something, what you're going to see is that you have this, you desire to be with it. You think about it. Now, sometimes people can love things that aren't good, right? There's the love of money, right? It's not money itself. It's the love of money. And what is it? That's all they think about. They think about, you know, it's that greed part, how I can get more, right? You know, there's people out there that's billionaires, and that to me is just is crazy. I can't imagine that much money. But there are some people, that's all they think about is money, right? There's other people that all they think about is sin. And here is David is talking about his love for the Lord. Now, this is not saying that every single day of David's life he was this way. Right? This is a period of time that's here. But the reality is he loved the Lord, right? He loved his word. You know, the Bible tells us, the book of John, chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." The reality is if we really love God, we'll keep his commandments. Well, how are you going to keep his commandments unless you know what they are, right? Unless you're in the Bible, unless you read what God says in his word, how are you going to know? So the reality is, if we truly love God, that means we're going to have to spend time in his word so that way we can understand what his word is. If you love me, keep my commandments. There's another verse in John 15:10 that says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love, right? So the reality is, he tells us this of keeping his word. So when we read this first verse that's here, O love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Let me ask you, you answer it in your heart. You answer it honestly. If you stood before God, how would you answer, do you really love God's word? How much time do you spend reading the Bible? Do you think about it throughout the day? You know, that's only you can answer, right? I can't answer that for you. But there should be a desire that you love the Word of God. Amen. My Bible is precious to me. I just do. I love my Bible. I can't say I've always been that way until I got saved. But since I've been saved, I just love my Bible. Amen. It's precious. And there's been some times where I would put it down or something and it would fall or something. It wasn't intentional to fall. And I felt all bad, you know. But this is God's word. It means something to me. I meant by this word that it was the Holy Spirit used his word and convicted me. And I saw myself as a sinner. I mean, I'm saved, amen, because I saw what the word said and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that God gave me his word. And the psalmist, as we continue on in verse 98, he talks about this love of God's word. He goes on and says, thou, through thy commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I'll come back to that last part. And he talked about thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies. Can I tell you, this Bible is the truth. There's nothing that's greater or better than this Bible. Nothing. There is no other truth that's out there per se that would make this a lie. This is truth. Thy word is truth, right? And what David is saying is, even though his enemies, maybe they have the worldly knowledge of traps and things to that nature, because he's following God, he loves God, he knows the promises of God that God has given him. The reality is, he says, thou hast made me wiser than my enemies. Amen. Folks, it's a wonderful thing when you think about God's protection that he can have over his people. David had a promise from God. And that promise that David had from God was he would be king. Nothing could change that. Now, David had times where he got a little scared. Remember the time when Saul was against him and he got a little scared? He ran to the priest and he said, hey, he ran in haste. And he said, hey, I need a sword. Give me the sword. And he took the sword of Goliath. Do you remember reading that in your Bible? Kind of reading that he went there. You know, that is a picture of fear. And when he had fear in his heart and he was thinking, oh no, I'm going to die. He ran and he got a sword that when he, years back, he didn't need a sword to defeat the enemy. Saul himself was afraid of Goliath. You have to think about when David was anointed by Samuel. He was still young. How old he was, I'm not 100% sure. But Saul was king. And when David went to see his brothers, as he went out there, Saul was king. That was head and shoulders, above everyone else. So when Saul stood up, if all the other Jewish people were there, he was the tallest man there. He was king. But when Goliath came out, who was taller than Saul, Saul feared him. And David, when he came, you know, he wasn't as tall as Saul. He wasn't probably as strong as Saul. But the reality is, when he tried to give him that sword and things, he's like, I haven't proved it. I mean, there's 5 stones. And he went against an enemy that was more powerful and stronger than Saul. Because he realized it's God. You have defiled God. And I'm coming in the name of God to you. And he defeated him. And then we get to a time where David is fearful of Saul. Saul was fearful of the giant that David defeated. Why? Because he got his eyes off of the Lord. Folks, can I tell you, when we think about this, is it says, "Thou through thy commandments have made me wiser than thy enemies." The giant, you know, Goliath thought there is no way this little young boy, however he was, probably a teenager, 17, 18, I don't know how old he was. This young man is going to defeat me as Goliath. I am a warrior. And the reality is, David knew that he was going to win. Because David had a promise. David had a promise from God to be king. And even though that time he feared Saul, you didn't have to fear Saul. God already promised him he would be king. Folks, can I tell you, as a believer, God has given you a promise of eternal life. God has given you a promise to never leave thee nor forsake thee. I don't know what trials you're going to run into. Some of you went through a nice trial this past weekend. It sounds like you still have a trial that's potential before you. But one thing for sure, you know, God will be there with you. God will help you through it. And whatever trials that you go through, the reality is we can go right to the Scriptures and realize, hey, God is greater. God is wiser. There is nothing greater than God. And here it is, when he's speaking of this, so you think about this, he knows that God can help. How about us? If you're in the Scriptures, you're reading it, studying it, and applying it to your heart, "Thou through all thy commandments have made me wiser than my enemies." Can I tell you, you're on the winning side. You didn't lose. The truth of the matter is, you already won. But you're already a victor. I like watching baseball. And my team's not too good this year. But the reality is, my team last night was losing. They were no hit in the ninth inning with two outs, Mark, losing 3-0. And they came back and won. I was just like, wow, how did that happen? Amen. And that's a baseball game. They didn't know they would win. Folks, what I'm saying is, we have something greater. We have already won. Because we have Jesus. Amen? Don't ever forget that. And you'll get that when you look at the Bible. Whenever trials come to your life, the reality is you can look at the Scripture and say, you know what? I have the Lord and God will help me. God will give me the strength. God's going to use whatever I'm going through to help me to be more and more like Him. And here David is talking about this. So you think about every decision we make. The reason he could say that is it says, "Through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than thy enemies," is because he's applying it. Whenever you have decisions to make in your life, do you think about the Bible? How God would want you to handle it? Yes, you should pray and ask God to give you wisdom. But you ever think about, if I make this decision, is this in line with the Bible or this contrary to the Bible? And if you think about it, if it's contrary to the Bible, then don't make that, because that wouldn't be a wise decision. But if it's not contrary to the Bible, the reality is that would be a good decision to make, right? If the Lord's leading you. But anyway, apply it to your life. Apply it to our life. And then he says this, "For they are ever with me." Now they, it goes back to the last things that he speaks about, is the enemy. Now, sometimes you can look at this and maybe apply it to his word, right? But he speaks about his enemies. "They are ever with me." The enemy is not going to leave you. Mark, when the devil is, you know, the last trial that you went through, whenever the devil, the demons try to do something to you, the reality is they're not just going to, quote unquote, leave you alone. When you get the victory, the devil's going to come and say, "All right, I'll never mess with Mark again," right? The reality is you have an enemy. You think about your sin nature. Amen. But we have the world. We have the, you know, demons, the devil. They're always there. But the reality is we can always win. They are ever with me. And if they're always there, right, to try to do things, you would think that they would win. But they're not. As long as, again, believe the Bible, apply it to your heart, have that shield of faith, apply it. The reality is they're always there, but they will always lose. Now, I can't say that they have always lost per se to me, because sometimes my shield of faith has gone down and this darts have hit. But the reality is, when I apply Scripture to my life, I win every time. Amen? That's what David is saying. They're always there, but realize that we always win. Amen? Again, in contents, he's speaking about God's Word is saying we can live a victorious Christian life. Then he says, look here, verse 99, verse 100. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients. You think about the elderly. Because I keep thy precepts. The Bible gives us understanding. That word understanding talks about knowledge and comprehending. Knowledge and comprehending. So when he's speaking about having more understanding than his teachers, he's talking about his teachers in his ancients, he's spending time in the Scripture. He's reading it. He's thinking about it. He's meditating upon it. He's applying it. Just because someone's a teacher does not mean they have more understanding than you. Because someone could be a teacher and they're not applying the Scripture to their life. The reality is this, that they're not wise. What's his name? Nicodemus. He was a master. He was a teacher. And he taught people. And I'm sure he knew of Scripture. And he taught people Scripture. But he did not know the Lord. Here is, he's talking about these ancients and teachers, and these people were probably people that were saved. But what he's saying is, he had such love for God and His Word that he continued to take it in. And God, I think God called him wasn't David the man after my own heart? I mean, he just loved God. And he spent so much time with God. And the reality is, David didn't say these things because it was a contest. Sometimes people take that as a contest, right? I have to have more knowledge than you. Well, you missed the point, right? If that's what you want, then the truth is you may have more Bible knowledge, but that doesn't mean you have understanding. It's not a contest. The reality is you're doing it because you want to know more about God. I want to make wise decisions. I want to have a good marriage. I want to raise my daughter well. I want to lead the church in the right direction. Well, the reality is this. That means I need to get into the Scripture. I need to learn. When I was in Bible college, I had a professor. You know what he told me in Bible college? He's like, you know, we're teaching you, you know, to go out there and stuff. He said, but don't ever stop learning. Don't ever stop learning. It, you know, we're going to teach you things here. And he said, the truth is, some of the stuff that you're going to learn, can't remember it's him or another one, that told me, he said, you may not remember it all. He said, but the reality is when you get there and you're praying and reading, you know, God will bring it back to your memory. But don't stop learning. I remember, I think it was evangelist Dr. Hamlin told me the same thing. Just keep on learning. And that's what I've been trying to do, is keep on learning. Amen? Keep on reading. Keep on studying. I don't do it so that way I can look back to my pastor, you know, that I'm out of, and say, hi, I have more understanding than him. I'm not even comparing myself to him. Amen? I'm doing it for myself. I'm doing it for my family. I'm doing it because I love God. That's what David is saying. If your goal is to say, I want more knowledge than Mark, or I want more knowledge than Elma, well, the reality is you may have more book knowledge, right? You may know different things, but that doesn't mean that you know better. Amen? That you have understanding. And what David is talking about, that's what he speaks of here, right? There's nothing wrong with taking the Bible in. But the key is to apply it. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of James. James chapter 1. We'll be coming back there. So James chapter 1. To apply it. So we'll be coming back to Psalms to apply it. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, look here, verse 22. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So a doer of the word is someone you take in the scripture and you apply it, right? So if you think about, thou shalt not kill. Well, you take it in, to apply it means don't kill. Our Lord even tells us about hating someone is like committing murder, right, in our heart. So the reality is you take it in and you apply it, right? Tithing, right? God says give 10%. What is it? You give that, you're applying it, right? He goes, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, and he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You want your life to be blessed? Well, spend time looking in God's word. And then what? Continuing therein. Don't forget it. Apply it. And you apply it to your life, you will be blessed. Amen? That doesn't mean material things, but you'll have this joy and peace that's in your heart. You're applying the scripture to your life. When I was growing up, it was kind of like, I wasn't saved, but as a young kid, go to school and you get all that peer pressure. When I was growing up, I mean, we grew up in the holler, Mark, in the mountains. And our family didn't have much. And even when I was growing up, we didn't have much money. And the shoes I had that I wore, I have no idea what kind of shoes I wore. I really have no idea when I was growing up. But when we moved, we went into Waynesboro, went into that area when I was in fifth grade. I still can't remember what kind of shoes I had on. But all I know is John, they used to pick on me because of the shoes I had. I had some cheap shoes. I don't know what they were, but it was probably, I don't know if they had Walmarts in that time in Waynesboro or what, but whatever, probably Ames. They may have had Ames. Anyone remember Ames? Yeah, Ames, maybe Kmart, maybe. So whatever, it was probably the cheapest shoe there was probably what they bought me, because that's what they could afford. And then when I was there and I was 11 years old, I used to be made fun of, right? And then it was like, then I'd go home after the peer pressure, because you get it every single day. And I'd ask my parents and be like, I need some shoes, a new shoes. Well, what's wrong with your shoes? Mom, they're whatever, tracks or whatever they were, right? And they're not in. Mom, I need something better, right? What do you want? I want Nikes. I want Air Jordans. Yeah. They're like, that's $80. Can you imagine buying a pair of shoes for $80 back in there? Well, today, it seems like you almost have to spend, who knows? Yeah, they probably are $200. But what I'm saying is, when I was growing up, that was me, because I wanted to fit in the peer pressure. And, I had to buy the best shoes or whatever, even though I still didn't get those shoes. Amen. I link back and think, how stupid. Amen. But the reality is this, I don't care. Amen. I don't. Yeah, back in those days I did, right? But the reality is I don't care. Amen? I'm thankful. I like when I get a pair of shoes, I like a better shoe because I'm on my feet so much, or I'm sitting down and it's more comfortable. But I don't care. Amen? As long as I like it. Amen? What I'm trying to say is the world will influence us. Don't follow the world. If you can't, again, for me, when I buy these dress shoes, I always like the Nunbush. And these shoes are so comfortable. But I don't know. I wait till they're on sale. Because sometimes you watch and they're like $50-some on sale. That's when I buy them, right? But you may not be able to afford $50-something. Well, then don't buy those. Amen? Don't buy something you can't afford. Amen? I just like these because these are comfortable. I can afford. That's what I buy. Amen? That's what I get. But live within your means or live under your means. Amen? I've been trying to teach Ariana, you know, with that. Amen? To live within your means or under your means. Amen? And she does that most times. I'm joking. So she has to do it. Amen? But anyway, what we could see is he talks about applying it to your life. Look back here, the book of Psalms, in Psalms 119. You may say, is that Bible? Yes. God wants you to live within your means. Amen? Look over here to Psalms 119, down to verse 101. Psalms 119, verse 101. It says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way. Now again, David is not saying he's perfect. David's not saying they didn't make foolish mistakes, right? Again, he's talking about this period of time, and that's what he's doing, right? He learned his lesson. He's trying his best. I'm sure there's times that he still failed. But he's saying, from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. How did he know that the way was evil? Because he had the Bible, right? Yes, it wasn't complete the word of God, but the word of God that he had. He knew what was right, and he knew what was wrong. This Bible will help you to see what is right and what is wrong. There's a verse, you can keep your finger there, over here in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I like this verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Actually, two verses here. These are short verses, but powerful verses. And they'll give you some good thoughts about things in your life. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, prove all things. Here he tells us to prove all things, right? To examine it, to test it. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. How are you going to know what's good? Well, see what the Bible says, right? So you're testing it, you're examining all things based on what is good, which is Scripture. And when you find out what is good, you hold on to it. You don't change. Because you could have someone that says, hey, this is bad. Well, the reality is, if the Bible is truthful, which it is, amen, that's what you do. You hold on, right? Hold fast that which is good. And then he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. All appearance of evil. Is it evil? Is it evil? Is the appearance of it evil? That goes further than just being evil. But the appearance of it is evil. So here it is. He says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen? That'd be good principles to put in your life that you look at and say, what does the Bible say? And the Bible says this is good. The Bible says, you know, if this is good and this is wrong, you have something that has the appearance of evil. God's saying, hey, stay away. Now, some people will say that would be extreme. Well, the reality is, you can call me extreme if you want to, but I'd rather please God. Amen? And that's what it says. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Look what the Bible says over here to Psalms. We went through this before. Psalms 101. In Psalms 101. In Psalms 101, if you look here at verse 1 through 3. Psalms 101, look here at verse 1 through 3. The Bible says, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? And look what he says here. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Now, you think about that when you're in your house, right? House, sometimes you are more relaxed. You may let your guard down or whatever, right? In your house, you're not in the church house, so people can't see you. You're not out in the community, and you're in your house. But you're right, God sees you. Amen? And the reality is, even though others may not see, others may not know, the reality is, God knows. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. So that means when I'm maybe all alone and no one else is there, Debbie's gone, Grandma's gone, Ariana's gone, no one else is there, it's just me. Well, just me and God, right? The reality is, I should still walk within my house with a perfect heart. I should keep sin out. The temptations I would bear, don't give in. Amen? He says, look at this one. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall cleave to me. Here it is, he's saying, he said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Amen? No wicked thing. Boy, can I tell you, we live in a day and age where you think about the internet, you think about the television. You turn on the television, and can I tell you, there's going to be some wicked things that go through that television. Amen? And the reality is, when you see that, turn it off. Amen? Don't just sit there and keep on watching it. And he's saying, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Is that our desire? Amen? Now, please, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying you can't watch television. That's between you and the Lord. Amen? But whatever you watch, you should make sure it's no wicked thing. Amen? Because my desire is to please the Lord. Amen? Our desire should be to please the Lord. And that's what David is referring to. Now, turn back here to Psalms 119. In Psalms 119, if you look down here to verse 102... Psalms 119, verse 102. Psalms 119, verse 102. It says, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. God was helping David with the scripture. Amen? Now you think about it, as believers, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and the Holy Spirit will help us. Amen? The Holy Spirit will help us to understand the scripture. And here it is, David is saying that, I have not departed from thy judgment, for thou hast taught me. Amen? God is the one. The reality is, this is a spiritual book. This is just not just a single, book that's there. It's a spiritual book. If you want to understand this book, the reality is you have to have a relationship with God. And what that means is accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Believing He died for you, was buried and rose again. You receive Him as your Savior. And the Bible says then God comes in and enters in. And the Bible says then that He'll help you with the Scripture. I used to pick up in this Bible and read it before I accepted Christ, before I became a Christian. And I couldn't understand it. John, I would pick up the Bible and be like, this doesn't make sense to me, right? I mean, I understood the words that were there, but it just didn't make sense to me. Then that day that I got saved and accepted Christ as my Savior, I picked up this Bible and started to read, and I was thinking, wow, look at that. I never saw that before. Well, what happened? Well, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came in, and he says the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Amen? Their foolishness of it. I could start to understand it. Now, Mark, that doesn't mean I understood every single thing. And there's still some things I'm reading, and I'm still praying that God would help me. There's some meat in there that's really good. Amen? And over time, God will help you. But things were different. Why is it? Because God was helping. You think about it, that's what we have. We have the Holy Spirit. He can help us. When you take time every single day, again, this section talks about the love of God's Word. Take time, pray, and say, Lord, help me to understand Your Word as you read it. Allow God to speak to your heart. And the reality is, God will teach you something in His Word. Now, sometimes we go too fast, and sometimes we can be distracted. I mean, just get in a alone place with the Lord and allow God to speak to your heart. When you read it, you'll see something. Always take it in contents. What that means is don't take a verse out of contents to try to justify something. what, take it literally, unless the content itself tells you otherwise. But just apply it to your heart. And whatever you're going through, it's amazing how God works things out. Amen? And that's what we see here. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't need church, right? We all need church, amen? We all need church to grow spiritually. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, down here at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. This is what God gave to the church. God gave, you think about the apostles, there were those that, you know, at the beginning of the church, there's no apostles today. But he gave these things. And what we see is the evangelists, pastors, and teachers are still here today. And why did he give us these men? Well, he tells us, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God has given us pastors, evangelists, and teachers that could help us to grow in the faith, to be used in the ministry. He goes on and says, until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And look what he says here in verse 14. That we, again, he speaks of believers, right? We, he was referring to himself, Paul and these believers, it would be Paul and us. We therefore be no more children. When you get saved, you're a babe in Christ. You need that milk, which is his word, to grow. And here it is, he's telling us that we be no children. God wants you to grow. I love my daughter, and you know, she's 15 now. Amen? And that's just hard to imagine, 15. But the truth of the matter is, I would love to keep her at our house forever. And she's like, no, amen. But the reality is, I know that's not right. Amen? Our goal is to teach her, raise her for God, that she would grow up and then go out on her own. And God brings some good young man into her life. They end up getting married. And then Miss Alma gave me 5 grandkids. That sounds about good. Amen. So that just like her. Amen. And I'm just, you're great. I'm teasing. But anyway, what we could see is, what is he saying? We need to grow, right? Grow. He goes on. It says, if you don't grow, right? It says, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The reality is, we need church to help us to grow, to be discipled, to know more about the Lord. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit can teach us, right? But we still need that to grow. And if not, the reality is, he says, hey, you're going to be tossed to and fro. You have Christians that are still babe in Christ, and they believe one thing one day and another thing another day. Why is that? Because they're not grounded. That's what he's saying here, amen? So turn back here to Psalms. In Psalms 119, almost done here. At verse 103 and 104, again, he's talking about his word, how much he loves the Bible. He says, how sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. David talked about this sweet, right? He talks about the taste of honey. And what that honey must have been like when David got it. And he had those that honey cone that was there, and he got it, and he took it to his mouth, and oh, that was sweet. I love oatmeal. Amen? Oatmeal, when I make oatmeal every morning, if you eat oatmeal without anything in it, at least for me, right? Oh, it's just, I don't know. So this is not good. But if I put something in it, right? I have put applesauce in it, as the sweeten it, put sugar in it, put honey in it, brown sugar or something. Oh, it just tastes so much better. Have you ever had that like that desire for sweets? What was it the other day? I was asking my wife, I was like, Debbie, I want some sweets. And she's like, Grandma made some fudge. And I was like, no, I don't want any fudge. I want some sweet. And even though that was sweet, but so I went to Price Chopper, and she put in my mind about a cake, Mark. So I go to Price Chopper, and we're there looking, and I got a cake and brought that cake home and cut it. And it was actually a little too sweet, but it hit that place. My wife, once in a while, will be out, and she'll text me or call me and say, hey, do you want to go to the bakery? I know what that means, John. She wants to go to the bakery. She's just asking, see if I wanted any. I mean, she wants to go. Why? She wants that something for that sweetness. When I was younger, my mom, we would go to places down close to... I can't remember the place now. There was a smorgasbord that was called Horn and Horn. It was a smorgasbord. It was like all you can eat. There was one that was called Mountain Gate we would go to. And we would sit there. And my mom, I still remember, she would get her first plate of food. And then her second plate, Mark, she went to the dessert place and filled it up. I mean, my mom had a sweet tooth. She loved that. And here it is. He's talking about this, but now... He's not talking about quote unquote eating sweets. You know, you're doing that is probably surely not good for your sugar, and your doctor probably wouldn't like that. But he says, how sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. As those sweets that would hit that place of saying, I need something, right? I need that sweet. He's saying the word of God is sweeter than honey. It's more satisfying. It hits that home. It's like, wow. I love apple pie. The apples are starting to come about. It's the name has changed. I call it FUBAR, but it's what's the name of it? Apple whatever. Applewood Orchard just opened up. They have the Honeycrisp that's open right now. If you never ate a Honeycrisp, they're really really good. My wife got me on those, and wow, are they sweet! How did I get on sweets? That's what we're talking about. But apple pie. Oh, I love apple pie. And it just hits home, right? But can I tell you, there is nothing sweeter than when I get to this Bible and start reading it and allow God to speak to my heart, how it hit home. I was, there was something that I was in my life that, you know, I was going through. And I was thinking, Lord, I need help, right? And I go to the scripture, and God comforted me, encouraged me. And I was like, Lord, I just help me, encourage me. And this is truthful. My wife and my daughter to testify of this. There was a verse in the Bible that talks about, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. You know, there's some things I, you know, with work and stuff, my job outside of the pastorate, and God was just reminding me, hey, put me first, keep me first, I'll take care of you. So, I mean, that hit home. But you know why it was so sweet? Mark, the ladies could testify, I think Ariana could see it. 6:30 in the morning, 6:33 to be exact, in the morning, I get a text.
John.
No, it wasn't John. I get a text. He doesn't text me 6:30. I got a text at 6:33 in the morning. Can't you testify? And it was the verse that God gave me. And someone texted to me at 6:33 in the morning. You want to talk about something that was sweet, as in sweeter than honey, that hit home. It was God confirming my heart and saying, hey, just keep me first. Folks, can I tell you, that hit home more than the apple pie ever had. That hit home more than the Sugar Rush Bakery, which I like. That hit home more than those Apple Crisp apples. That hit home more than those grapes that you get that are really sweet grapes, not the sour. I mean, it hit home. It hit home more than any. And that's what David is saying. He says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. There's that desire, you're saying, that need that's there, and God can hit that need. And can I tell you, it is greater than anything you ever had. And then he says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. What was it? David saying, Lord, I'm allowing your word to lead and guide me. I'm allowing your word to direct me. And because I'm allowing your word to direct me, I hate every false way. Now, we're living in a society today, and when they hear that word hate, you know, you shouldn't hate anything. We should hate sin, but we love people. Amen? God loves people, we hate sin. Amen? And the reality is, we can hate every false way, but still love people. I love people. Amen? I like being around people. Sometimes there's some people I may not like being around, but I do. I love people. Amen? But every false way. Amen? One thing I don't like is lying. I don't like when someone lies to me. You know? I'd rather you just tell me flat out, as you know, tell me, preacher, I'm not coming to church, than say, preacher, I'll be there, and they never show up. You know? I'd rather have someone just tell me the truth. I hate every false way. False way is not my determining of what is false. It's what God says is false. If God says it's wrong, that's a false way, then the reality is I should look at it for what it is. David had a desire. Why? Because he loved God's word. Folks, I hope tonight when you look at the scripture, I hope there'll be a desire in your heart to say, you know what? I want to know the Bible more. I want to know it better. I want to get into that Bible and read it, study it, understand it better. Not as a contest. Not to come in and say, hey, look at the verses I can quote. But come in and to allow God to speak to your heart that you can know Him better. That was Paul's desire in the book of Philippians chapter 3, that I may know Him. He wasn't talking about salvation. He was already saved. He wanted a desire to be a closer relationship. And David here is talking about a closer relationship. That's what I want. I want to grow closer to the Lord. I'm not doing it to earn salvation. I have salvation. I'm doing it because I love Him. Allow God's Word to be sweet to you this week. Spend time in it. And if you really love His Word, you'll speak about it. You'll think about it. Amen. Father, I thank You for this opportunity to preach and teach. And Lord, I pray that this message was an encouragement and help. And I pray that it would help us in our walk with You. Help us to spend time reading Your Word, that we'd be able to apply it to our heart. And Lord, I pray that it would be, as David said, how sweet are Thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Allow that to be our desire this week. I pray that You'll give us safety as we travel home, and I pray that You'd help us to be a blessing to those we run into. We ask it all, Jesus, in Your precious name.